If not, I invite you to turn with me to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, the 15th chapter. And I want to read just a few verses there to establish my thought today. Chapter 15, I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my heart, of my house, is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And I'm going to stop reading there. That's the first six verses of that 15th chapter. I want to take a text verse from the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and I want to share verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It tells us there that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This morning, for a few moments of time, I want us to concentrate on, I want us to think about the effects of faith. And I'm going to title my message this morning, No Faith, No Future. We are finishing up 1 year, and we're looking to a new year in just a few days. And depending on how this year has been for you, some of you I know have had a difficult year. This has been a hard year. And others of you might say, well, it's been a good year for me. But I want us to think about what God's Word says about faith. And I believe the message that we find in the Word of God is if we want to have the best year possible that we can have, then we need to have the year that God wants for us. And in order for us to be able to enjoy the kind of year that God wants us to enjoy, then we're going to have faith. Otherwise, there will be no future for us. In Hebrews 11 here, I encourage you to read the whole chapter. It describes the nature and it describes the fruits of faith. In fact, the very first verse tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And think of it this way. We all remember how we felt or maybe how we feel when our birthday or even when Christmas, for that matter, comes around. There was or there is a certain excitement. There is an anticipation that comes with those events. And, you know, part of that is because we knew that we were going to receive gifts. We knew that there would be maybe some cake or some ice cream or some other treats or things that we might like with that. And, you know, those events, they combined assurance with anticipation. And as I share this message this morning, I think faith is just like that. And I think there's two words that describe our faith, and that is confidence and its certainty. And these two qualities, they need a secure beginning and an ending point. And this morning, I believe that we can see that the beginning point of faith is believing in God. It's believing that He is who He said that He is. Nobody has ever been saved who has denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody who has ever been saved who didn't have a trust, who didn't have a belief, who didn't have a faith in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the beginning point has to be believing in God and who He is and who He says that He is. And I believe the ending point for us is believing in God's promises, believing that He will do what He has said that He will do, that He will fulfill the promises that we see before us in God's Word, and we can depend that He'll do that. And when we believe that God will fulfill his promises, even though some of them, you know, we don't see those promises materializing just yet. It requires, I think it demands, that we have a faith that these things will materialize, that these things will come to pass that the Lord has promised. And I believe that we demonstrate true faith when we can get to that point. I want us to take a look at Abram this morning. And I think as we look at his life, we'll be able to understand what I'm trying to get to a little bit more clearly. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 12, Abram received a divine call from God. And this call that he received, not only was it a divine call, but along with the call came promises that God gave to him. He promised him that if he would do what God had asked him to do, that God was going to lead him to a new land. He promised that if he would do what God asked him to do, that he would have descendants and that he would be a blessing to those descendants. He promised him that he would protect him from the enemies, not only him himself, but also he would protect his family from those enemies. And Abram, as we look at the Word of God, tells us that he stepped out on faith. He believed and he trusted the Lord, and he departed and he began this journey. He began this adventure of faith. And we read this account of Abram in Scripture, and we think, maybe at least I think this, could you have done that? If God said to you, and I'm going to read what God said to him in just a moment here, but, you know, we look at Abram and we think, you know, I don't think I could ever do what he did. But I want us to understand today that the truth is, you and I serve the very same Lord who called upon Abram, and he still calls upon us today to do and to accomplish his will in and through your and my lives. And, you know, I can identify with this in a sense. You know, several years back, Crossroads called me and said, we want you to come to a different land. We want you to come to a new land. I had never been here before. And I got to be honest with you that, you know, I felt when the church called me to be your pastor, I knew that that's what I needed to do because God impressed it upon my heart. But I'm going to be honest with you this morning and tell you it was a fearful thing. And I had to step out on faith, and I had to trust the Lord that when I got here, that you might like me a little bit, and that the Lord might bless us in our worship and in our service. And, you know, I had to have trust that the Lord would be with me along the way. And I'm so thankful to God today that all these years that God has been with us. And it has been a blessing for me to be here. And part of the reason is, number one, because I was obedient to the Lord. And I believe the other part was the church was obedient and doing what they felt the Lord called them to do. And the other thing was, you all been so good and kind to me. That's made it easier for me to be here. But I had to step out on faith. Abram stepped out on faith. Many of you have had to step out on faith in many circumstances and many instances in your life, trusting the Lord. And let me just ask you this morning, you know, have you begun the life of faith? Have you received the gift of God? Have you been saved by God's grace? Then are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? And if so, in doing so, I want to ask you this morning, have you entrusted your future unto the Lord? Who's in control of your life? Who's in control of what your future is going to be about? Are you looking to the Lord and are you trusting in Him? We're about to enter into the new year. And I believe the teaching of God's Word is that the future belongs to those who place their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we do that, I think the effects are far-reaching. I want us to notice how that faith, it affects so many areas of our life. You ever stop and think about how faith affects your families? In my reading here in Genesis chapter 12, I want to share this with you. The call of Abraham, it had to do with families. We'll notice in the first verse of that 12th chapter, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country." That was the first thing he said to him. Get out of this country. He said, and get away from your kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show unto thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So we see God gave his command, he gave his commission to Abram. And as we follow through the scripture, we find that Abram was to leave, and he was to leave for Canaan. That was the destination. That was where he was going to go. It wasn't just him that was supposed to go, but he was supposed to go, and he was supposed to take his family. Imagine him telling them, we're going to gather all this stuff that we got, and we're going to go. And it was no easy task. And then he was to be a blessing, the scripture said, unto all the families of the earth. How was he going to be a blessing to all the families of the earth? He was going to do it through faith. He was going to demonstrate his faith. And brothers and sisters, I think as we look into God's word, I hope you would agree with me that God is interested in families. God's concerned about my family. He's concerned about your family. And we can see it throughout the word of God. I think about Noah. If you think back to the days of Noah, you know, you've heard or studied God's word, you know that things were not good in Noah's day. The world, the Bible says, was filled with wickedness. And that wickedness made God to repent in his heart that he even made man. And he was going to destroy man from the face of the earth. God was going to bring his judgment upon the earth. But we find in the reading of God's word that Noah and his family, they were called to the safety of the ark. God gave Noah some instructions to build this ark. And while he was building this ark for some 120 years, he was also ministering to the people that were there about what was coming. But you know as well as I did that they rejected the message of God. I don't know about you, but I believe that if another family would have believed in what he had said, that they'd have been on that ark too. But they rejected the message of God. But I want us to notice the concern and the love that God has for family. He called Noah and his family into the safety of the ark before that great flood came. And in the seventh chapter it says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation." And then in verse 16 it tells us that the Lord shut them in. The Lord protected them from that great flood that came. They found grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. His family found mercy and grace in God. Why? I believe this morning it was because of their faith and the demonstration of that faith. God is concerned about families. I think about the Philippian jailer that we read about. The 16th chapter of the book of Acts. This jailer, he had a responsibility. He was responsible for the prisoners. His life literally depended upon those prisoners staying imprisoned. If any one of them had escaped, it would have been his head. It would have been his life. There was a great earthquake. And the doors or the gates of the jail cells, they flung open as a result of the earthquake. And this jailer, he was very distraught as a result of that. And he was about to take his own life until Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, because we're all here." Paul and Silas had been singing, they'd been praying, and no doubt others in that prison, but certainly this jailer had heard these prayers and these songs of praise that they sang. And he asked them, he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas responded, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and," it said, "thy house." And if you continue to read God's word, you'll find out that they were saved. Not only were they saved, but they were also baptized. Faith changed that family that night. And they became followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've read to you this morning, Abram, he struggled a little bit with unbelief about family. As I read in my scripture reading, verse 3 in chapter 15, "And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed." Had no children. To me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. Now I read to you about a man by the name of Eliezer, who was from Damascus. This man that was in the household of Abram, we're told that he was his trusted servant. This man was, if you would, his administrator of his house. He was the overseer of Abram's house. And I believe that Abram had a great love for him. And the custom of that day was, if Abram should die having no heir, then all of his belongings would have gone to Eliezer. Abram wanted a son of his own. He wanted his own heir. He wanted somebody from his own loins to carry out his name and to be the legacy of his family. God promised him a seed. I think about what Paul said about this blessed seed in Galatians 3 and 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So he's referring to the blessed seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was going to come from the lineage of Abram all the way down to the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, our faith in Jesus Christ ought to be great examples to our families. I want to ask you this morning, are we talking about faith in our homes? Are we demonstrating our faith in our homes? Is our family seeing our faith? I believe this morning that faith most definitely affects our families. And my prayer is that our families will see our great faith in 2019 as we embark on this new year. And may our faith that they see in us inspire faith in them, particularly to those that are unsaved, particularly to those that are lost. They need to see our faith and our belief in our Savior. We need to be telling about them that need, that they need to have faith and believe in Jesus Christ unto the saving of their soul. And then we need to demonstrate how to live that faith before them, trusting our lives with the Lord and being obedient to the leadership of God in our lives. Because I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that our faithfulness is rewarded, that God rewards of those who exhibit faith, and I pray that we'll do that. I want us to also notice in Abram's life here how that it affected his future. You ever stop and think, what if Abram didn't go? What if he didn't do as God had requested him? What if he didn't go to Canaan? What if he didn't gather up his family, left that place where he was at, not knowing where he was going because he didn't know Canaan was his destination when he left? What if he didn't do it? What if he didn't go? What if he didn't embark on this journey of faith for the Lord? Well, I think this morning the answer is fairly simple. He wouldn't have the promised blessings that God had given him. He wouldn't be blessed. His family wouldn't be blessed. He wouldn't have descendants as God had promised him that he would have them. He wouldn't be great, or he wouldn't be remembered. But we know that he did. And we know that he was great. We know that his name is remembered even yet today, because we're talking about it this morning and we're talking about what he did do. I mean, think about the scope of the blessings of Abram because of the faith that he exhibited toward God. The Bible indicated to us that he would have a son. In his old age, he would have a son. And as you remember that account in the Bible, you know as well as I do, that was a miracle of faith for them to be able to have that child. His wife, she'd been barren. She couldn't have children. And yet, because of faith in God, she was able to begin the legacy of his family. It was the beginning that he would have family, that he would have many descendants. In fact, verse 5, the Lord said to Abraham, he said, look to the sky. Try to number the sky, number the stars. If you've ever looked up in the night when the sky was filled with stars, it's a futile effort. You're never going to be able to count the number of stars because there's too many to count, and you can't count that high. But God told him to look and number the stars. So shall thy seed be. He made a promise to him. So brothers and sisters, our faith it most certainly affects our future. And I think sometimes we forget that the Scripture tells us that with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And of course, you know, when we read that, I didn't say everything that you want is not impossible with God. I'm talking about what God wants. God wants what's best for our lives. Sometimes we get off track and we try to tell God what we want instead of telling God we want what He wants for us. I'll tell you this morning, you'll be better off in 2019 asking God to give you what He wants for you to have in 2019. And I guarantee if you'll trust Him by faith, you'll be able to rejoice at the end of 2019 in the blessings that God has bestowed upon you. Do we have the faith to believe in the promise of God that nothing is impossible with Him? As I thought about the effect of faith in our lives, I think we all, at least I hope we all know that most important to us is how faith affects our fellowship with God. You know, I think about the things that are important to me, and I'll just be honest with you, as I'm getting older, there's a lot of things that when I was younger that were important to me that aren't important to me anymore. They're not a concern for me. As I'm getting older, I'm finding more and more that what's most important to me is my relationship with the Lord. And, you know, I think when we stop and think about how important it is and we understand, you know, faith is the key. And I believe that faith is what brought Abram into a right relationship with God. Hopefully we've been preached to, and hopefully we have been taught the truth. And that truth is that we're all sinners. I'm not going to take the time this morning to read, but I encourage you to read the third chapter of the book of Romans. And in that third chapter of the book of Romans, it expresses that in our sinful condition, we are not, cannot be acceptable unto God. In other words, we can't be saved. We can't enter into the portals of God. We need to be able to come unto Him. And if we have been preached and if we have been taught that Jesus Christ died to save sinners, then I believe we could have a better understanding of this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25 says, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation," in other words, set forth to be a substitute, has set forth to be an appeasement. He's talking about Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through what? Through faith. Through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And Paul summed it up in his writings to the Romans in chapter 5 and verse 8. He said, "But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Listen, the New Testament confirms, just like Abraham, just like Abram, later Abraham, we are justified by faith. And in Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, this is what it says. "What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believed on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Listen this morning. You want a relationship with God? If you want a relationship with God, it's obtainable only by and through faith. There's no other way to receive it. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. That's the avenue. That's the way that we get into a right relationship with God. But you'll never achieve it unless you have faith. Faith in who Jesus is. Faith in what Jesus did. And in faith, with a repentant heart of faith, trust in the Lord, you'll never receive that wonderful gift of God that comes by God's mercy and grace. You know, faith is nothing more than believing and trusting in Jesus. It's about reaching out through repentance, in faith, and receiving the wonderful gift of God, which is salvation. The gospel of our Lord is not that complicated. I guess sometimes we try to overcomplicate it, but it's very simple. The gospel is Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and died and was buried and rose again, just like he said he did, would. He's at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for those that call upon him. And all this required of those who are burdened by their sins, the Holy Spirit pricks their hearts with this gospel message, and they realize that they're separated apart from God, and they got to do something about it. And all they have to do is come with a repentant heart, make an altar somewhere, call upon the Lord, ask for forgiveness of their sins, and through faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the promise of God's word is, you'll be saved. That's pretty much what it is. And we wonder why people aren't flocking to make an altar somewhere and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Will you consider your faith this morning? To those of us that are saved, are we an example of faith to our families? Does the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, does it make you confident about what the future holds or what the future will bring for you and your family? Do you have fellowship this morning with God through Jesus Christ because of the faith that you expressed in him? My text verse this morning was, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believing that God exists, that's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. But God, he doesn't settle for just our acknowledgement that he exists. There's a lot of people that believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ, his son, and what he did. Believing in God is certainly a beginning, but he wants more. He wants a relationship with us. He wants a life-transforming relationship with us that comes through the wonderful gift of salvation. He wants to be your Savior today and for all of eternity. And the teaching of God's Word is that those who diligently seek him, those who are serious about it, those who want to be saved, they'll find him, and they will be rewarded with an intimate relationship with God through the salvation experience. I'm glad today that I'm saved. And I'll say this, and I'm going to close. Whenever we hear the gospel, I believe that whenever the gospel is preached, the gospel speaks to our hearts. In some way, in some form, in some fashion, the Holy Spirit of God takes the word and applies it to our hearts. And I believe that those that hear the gospel, they're responsible for the gospel that they've heard. Not only are they responsible for the gospel that they've heard, but they are going to one day be accountable for the gospel that they've heard. And of course, the question is going to be, what did they do with the gospel that they heard? The question this morning is, what will you do with the gospel that you've heard today? Faith drives our worship with the Lord. And it begins with faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins to bring us back into a relationship with the Father. After we've been saved, then that same faith is what we use to further and deepen that intimate relationship and walk with our Lord. And as I believe the Bible teaches us, our future is dependent upon the exercising of that faith. If a person is saved and they never exercise their faith, they're not going to be walking in the will of God for their life. Their future will not be what God wants for them to be. No faith, no future. I want to have a song, Brother Jimmy, if you would. If you'd come forward, we'll have a song in just a moment. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior? I want to give an invitation this morning. There may be someone here today that God, through His Spirit, has touched your heart, and you know that you're not saved. The gospel that we preach here is that if you're saved, when you depart from this life, you're going to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. But we also believe if you die and you leave this life unsaved, the other destination is hell, and it's a real place. Where will you spend eternity?